Today on Nineworks Radio, we're live at our first event of the year, Nineworks at the Warehouse.
Brought to you by nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Nineworks Radio. Welcome to a new series of what is hopefully your favourite Porsche podcast on planet Earth. Andy and Max, how are you, good sirs? Thanks for joining me again today.
Very good, very good. Lovely to have a break, but good to be back.
Yeah, great to be back. Great season ahead by the look of things. I'm excited.
Yes. I've missed you boys. I've definitely missed you boys over the festive break and into the new year. What have you been up to in your Porsche life?
Little bit of driven. Not hidden, but a little bit of relaxing as well. Bit of chilling, bit of downtime. But yeah, also a little bit of driving, you'd be pleased to hear.
Lovely. Nice. Andy?
Nice. Well, yeah, what have I been? Just chilling, really. It's a Christmas thing, isn't it? Not been doing any car stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, all good. But what we wanted to do this little intro because I kind of screwed up. I forgot to hit the record button. So Max and I entered the room to the Rocky theme tune. Lee was a little bit reticent. I think you were a bit shy that morning. but this is how it started once I did hit the record button.
I think everybody's quite pleased that you forgot to hit the record button, to be honest.
Here we are live from the warehouse of Heritage Car Parts.
Too cool for school.
It's all about you guys. Is that cool in the gang?
We're cool in the gang.
Right. What's this doing?
What's that? Your coffee?
Or is that your
coffee? How are we, ladies and gentlemen?
Excellent. Wicked. Thank you all so much for turning out on what is a cold but sunny January, the second Sunday of the year. So much variety on the roads. It's all thanks to you guys and girls. So
indeed.
Happy days. Thank you to Andy and the whole Heritage team for bringing us to the warehouse for the second year. I feel like this is becoming an annual.
Yeah, pleasure.
Annual
thanks
do
for
us.
Thanks for coming down.
Absolutely. So yes, we are here. It's the first Nineworks Radio episode of 2024, the first one of the new series. My name's Lee, obviously. To my left, we've got Max and Andy.
Yo!
Hello.
There he is, the regulars.
Smooth.
Max is on a lag, I think.
All right,
cheers. Brewer's drink.
Don't want to say that too loud.
Right, there we go. Yeah, all good?
All good.
Amazing.
All good.
Let's roll. Yeah, thank you, everybody, for coming. And thank you for partaking in Wonder Wheels? No, it's not Wonder Wheels.
Hot
What's
Wheels.
It called? Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels, yes.
Yeah. Rachel was our winner.
Whee!
Amazing. Was the weight of the 928 we reckon is the winning thing for Hot Wheels. Absolute beast of a machine.
As it again goes off the back of our Nineworks road trip last year, where a 928 embarrassed quite a lot of 911s. So,
didn't it?
Absolutely happy days. I think we're all missing something here. I think it's all about the transaxle cars going forward. So, which is good news for you, Andy, as well. Hey, so
absolutely
fantastic. So, for the benefit of people at home, as I said, we are joined by Andy, who's going to be a panelist for today on Nineworks Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Here from Heritage Parts, but people also know your dulcet tones via the podcast medium because you also do your own thing in your own time.
Yes, yeah, I got into podcasting almost a year ago. So I run a podcast called My Dad's Car, and we talk to people about their automotive nostalgia, basically vehicles they remember from growing up. So we've had a few people on, your good self, Rob's floating around,
Rob's
or was
here,
floating
yeah.
around somewhere. Yes, a few other people I think we've had on. So I do a bit of that.
Nice. Well, yeah, with the theme of our first episode of the year is This Year I Will. And I take it, Andy, from your point of view, it's going to be keep on podcasting and hard, I guess.
yeah, loads of stuff. I wear a number of hats, as you know. So, yeah, obviously some heritage stuff, getting out there, meeting people, having fun. It's all about having fun. Yeah. Podcasting, doing that, taking it on the road. I run something called Stuttgart South, so sort of Porsche events around here. So, yeah, more of that as well.
Yeah, there's an Instagram page as well, Stuttgart Side Shots.
Yeah, I'm just too busy to run it. So, sorry if anyone's tagged me in that recently. So it's just kind of just building up.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, look, I mean, you're obviously a 944 owner. I think it was a good while ago you were first on Nine Works Radio and said your story, but it's worth kind of just reminding people your ownership story with the 944.
Yeah, yeah, I've had it 5 years now. Used to walk past them going to school. Teacher had one. There was one on the house behind us, the 968 around the corner. And I've always been sort of drawn to the underdog. So I've had Jettas, Polos, like in the Volkswagen scene. And, yeah, I came into a little bit of money. And rather than spending it all on the house, I told my good lady wife that I was going to buy a Porsche. And, and so, yeah, I got away with it. And, yeah, basically I've done that. So it's not a perfect example. I set out to buy kind of a really nice sort of late S2. Not kind of concourse, but from an investment point of view. I spent less money, bought something which had been messed around with. It's a real sort of bits of car, but I use it in all weathers. I sort of hand the keys to anyone, like including yourself, let them loose and let them have a go. And I get real enjoyment out of that, kind of taking it on track, let my brother have a go, let my friends have a go, and yeah, just sharing it with people. So yeah.
Okay, yeah, so more of that this year from the 944's point of view.
Yeah, I didn't do any track stuff, I don't think, last year, but yeah, I'd love to get it back out on track because yeah, it's great for that.
Excellent. Okay, and I guess that kind of fits in quite nicely. I know it at Heritage, which is a VW and Porsche kind of parts specialist, as you guys are, the catalogue of Porsche parts increased last year, but there was a lot more kind of transaxle in the mix there, which was going to be good for you personally. I bet there's a nice staff discount in there.
Yeah, I might have had a little bit of a sort of input. Should we just get these 944 part numbers set up? Yeah. But yeah, there'll be more of that from a business point of view, definitely. I think you see, there's a lot of focus in the Porsche scene on the 911, rightly so. It's kind of the sort of the halo, but there's all these other sort of vehicles around about that. You've got the 944, I mentioned 928 as well, 914, etc., which have all got a following. And sometimes, like, the transaxle cars have got a bit of a lower entry point. Like, you can buy a 944 for less than you can buy a nice Golf GTI. Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of in the market for an older vehicle, then it's definitely kind of on the cards for people.
I think if you're looking at the breadth of the cars that are certainly, like, here today among the collective, lots of variety in the mix, and we've spoken before, I think that's one of the very best things about the Porsche scene and community. Everyone's had a splendid drive here today, I'm sure, and kind of what you turn up is you know, regardless. So.
Fantastic to see so many air-cooled cars here as well, especially kind of with, it's January. It's like, it's not raining and it's not snowing, which is grand. But yeah, hats off if you're driving something old today.
Yeah, I think we've probably got a third air-cooled, two-thirds water-cooled today, haven't we? That's pretty good going, isn't it?
Pretty good for, yeah, cold January in the UK. So yeah.
Good work, guys.
Commendations to you all. Absolutely. So it's worth pointing out, as we are, we're so grateful to Heritage for letting us come back for year two. There is a code which we don't mind sharing publicly, because there are certain codes that we just keep to the collective. But there's a 9Works10 code. So if you're shopping at Heritage that does parts for VWs and Porsches, up to and including 997 and 987, it's 9Works10. We'll get you up to 10% off your basket.
We got into Land Rover as well last year. Ooh, so okay. End of last year. So yeah, if you're into a bit of mud plugging, then we can cater for...
Hands up, anybody? Oh, there's a couple there.
There's a few in there.
So yeah, we can cater for a bit of Land Rover fools. Stuff as well.
Nice.
Land Rover fools.
Okay, well, yeah.
Don't insult them. They're our customers.
They won't be listening to this podcast.
He didn't mean it.
I can take the bit out of these three.
we're inclusive when we want to be. So to my left, as I said, Andy and Max, you know, how's things with you boys? All good? Ready to
all
go
good.
Again for the year?
Indeed, yeah. Nice little break. It's nice to have a little bit of brain rest from editing and sorting out podcasts, but ready to go. The Rocky theme. Let's go.
You're pumped, mate.
Yeah. I'm on. Max?
Yeah, I'm good to go. Not quite as pumped as you. I've not got as much gear as you have. But I'm good to go. Yeah. Went to Bicester last weekend to kick the season off.
Yeah, how was that? Who else went? Anybody?
All good. Loads show of hands. Us. Yeah. Loads of us. It's really good.
Was it?
Really good day out. On some of the WhatsApps, I noticed people complaining about it. Too many people, too much this, not enough that. I had a great time.
Really good.
Too many Porsches.
Well, no, this is on Porsche Group, so it can't have been
there
that.
There was a video I watched on YouTube. I think it was a guy that's got Citroens or something, and he was just bemoaning the Porsches that were there. Yeah, I was like, well, it was advertised as like a bit of a, meant to be the star of the show, wasn't it?
It was, this time.
Come on, mate, get with the program.
Yeah.
He was having none of it.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was really, really good. You know, the weather was okay, and it's freezing, of course. But, you know, it didn't rain. The cars were fantastic. It was a great social. We all sat in PP's Martini Motor. We had a great time.
Excellent. I've just seen you're a bit hidden behind the speaker there, Max. Sorry about that. It's not
for radio.
It's not meant.
See my bobble. Really. You can see my bobble over the top.
All good.
It does look like the year's going to be busy as it always is. I remember sitting here this time last year and we said, which anniversaries have we got for 2023? And
McCann, it was 10 years. Yes.
It was an anniversary every other week, wasn't it? It was a lot to get through last year. This year we've not got quite so much, but from just making some notes yesterday, what does 2024 generally look like from a Porsche perspective? In terms of anniversaries, Porsche has remained faithful and there are a few. Thank God, if not, what would we do for content? But we have got, it's 50 years of the 911 Turbo in 2024. We've got 50 years of the G-Body as well. So Andy B's got a whole year of pillow fluffing ahead from you. The 997, believe it or not, is 20 years old this year, which is incredible. I mean, it's also 25 years of GT3 as well. In terms of new cars, we're going to see the facelift of the 992 coming up shortly. Lots of talk about what powertrain or powertrains we're going to see on there, whether it's going to be hybrid or not, whether it's going to be naturally aspirated or not. We shall find out very soon. Max, are we pleased to know the Macan is going electric? There we go.
Outside the EU, it's staying petrol.
Okay. We've got...
Finally, a benefit of Brexit.
Oh, really? Yeah. We don't get it.
We get it, but we keep the petrol one as well.
Okay. Well, that's news.
There'll be a new Taycan model.
What are you looking at me for?
I don't know. on current form, you'll have a funny quote to throw in there.
There is a new Taycan.
A new Taycan.
What, point model?
Model, yeah, I assume, yeah.
Okay.
Short wheelbase, like hopefully.
Lift, or you don't know? You don't know what it...
Yeah, no idea.
No,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely no idea.
Sorry.
There's been a fast one flying around the Nürburgring. I don't know if it had to stop halfway for a charge or not, but there's going to be a new models to go with the Panamera and Cayenne, which obviously was the new generation launch. So that model lineup will expand as well outside of the sports car lineup. I also think we're going to see a heritage car because, I mean, we were promised four Heritage Design Edition models by the end of 2023. In the end, we had two, didn't we? We had the Targa Heritage Edition and we had the Sport Classic last year. Something tells me Porsche is going to do something to celebrate 50 years of Turbo and maybe look down that. So we'll see. But that's what we've got from a 2024 point of view. Maybe the audience can enlighten if I've missed anything, any anniversaries.
Is there going to be a 10th anniversary edition Macan?
You know, maybe that could be a heritage car.
Imagine. You know. What about a Dakar, Macan Dakar? Thomas and I were talking about that on the way down. No?
I think.
Okay.
Stretching it a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They'll call it the 10 Yar, won't they?
Zane Yara. I'm sorry, Thomas, if you've had to come down with Max. That sounds like a long old journey.
We had a good time.
Didn't you get stuck on the M25?
We did, yeah.
What, at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
How?
On the A3 bit, you know, where they're doing it at the A3.
Oh, okay.
Nightmare.
Sorry, just taking us off.
Before we dive into what the year's going to look like from our point of view, the collective's point of view, and seeing what everybody's up to, I've just got a couple of bits. So this is in regards to Porsche sales. So when we went to RPM towards the end of last year, there was a lot of talk, wasn't there? It was that marketplace special we did where we got the experts to give their two pence on what's going on. There was a lot of talk around 992 and Taycan, and obviously status of the Taycan at the moment is well documented, but Porsche Germany and Porsche GB released some sales figures last year, and I just want to put it out there just to give some context. Quite interesting. So last year, 320,000 Porsches produced in total for worldwide markets. That's up 3% on the year before. Where it gets interesting is Taycan. Okay, so last year globally, 40,000 Taycans delivered. The UK, and this could feed into this problem where we're seeing with the values kind of plummeting and lots of them sitting on forecourts. The UK last year became the leading global market for Taycan sales.
Wow. Okay.
We're a tiny island, right? So we're the leading global market for Taycan sales now, with 8,000 Taycans coming to this country last year. That means one in four Taycans produced last year came to the UK. Wow. Which we're talking about the numbers, supply and demand. I think, you know, that's where we can see there might have been a bit of a...
I'm going to be political and say that shows that our tax laws are... Okay, sorry,
yeah,
I slipped.
Yeah. So, I don't, is there any kids in? If so, just apologies.
Sorry, Ned. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So, quite interesting. I think from that point of view. The other thing is, and this is kind of how crucial our market here is in the UK, is in terms of like the European market. Okay, European market excluding Germany is 70,000 total cars sold last year. Porsches, and the UK made up just under 25,000 of that. So it's a real crucial market here. And it seems like, of those 24,000, 8,000 Taycans again. So just, you know, I think for people listening at home as well, it's nice to just put a bit of context in, you know, as to, there's a lot of them made, a lot of them.
A third of Porsches that went to Europe came to UK. Is that what you've just said? Or am I?
Outside Germany, yeah.
Outside of Germany.
Outside of Germany, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
So it's a lot. And again, you know, that's a lot of Taycans in there. It's just nice to add the numbers to kind of the debate and the comment that's going around.
Those Taycans are going to be really cheap in 3 years' time, aren't they, when they all come back?
Well, do you know what? On the first Nine Works TV video of the year, Will from Phil Raby said, I actually think they're going to be a car to buy because surely they can't fall too much more. At first, when you hear it, you think, oh, I really don't know about that. But then if you listen to his argument, there's a little bit of sense. It's going to be interesting to see where that car goes this year, ultimately. Check out the video to kind of get Will's sentiment on it. There is a bit of sense in there. But again, it's just in terms of the numbers, it's just loads.
Yeah.
Loads and loads and loads, mate.
I think they'll be half price after 3 years.
Who knows?
That's where they should be.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, then.
Right.
So, yeah, 20...
Enough of that electric.
Yes. Yes, 2024. So, as we said, the theme of this year is, or this episode is, you know, this year I will, ... So if we start at the front here, then we'd like to open the conversation up to the collective and see what the year entails. So Andy, Gregory, we'll throw you under the bus first.
Cheers, mate.
What does the year look like for you and maybe as a 944 owner, I guess? I know we touched on it a minute ago, but...
Yeah, more events. I want to get to some places I haven't been to. It'd be nice to get into Europe in the Porsche and, back on track, basically. That's the plan. Kind of realistic plan, I could say. Loads of things, but I think that's probably, with my wife's permission, that's probably what I'm going to get away with.
Yeah. Tempering dreams with, I guess finance is always the issue for me, you know.
Yes, so. Occasionally you've got to pay for stuff.
So Andy's as a classic owner, I guess, then with the SC, and it's great to see it out like it was with other air-cooled cars here today. But from your point of view as a classic owner, what's the year looking like for you?
Well, first thing is to fix the fuse box.
Okay, yeah.
Because that... when we got here today, I tried to start the car again and it wouldn't work. And that was the fuel relay fuse. So, yeah, that's my first job.
So you just got one off the shelf, yeah?
Yeah, I've got one sitting at home ready to go in, but I haven't done it yet. Other than that, I've got a few little jobs that I'm going to be doing on the car and definitely get it onto European roads this year.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, let's get it to Europe.
Anywhere in particular that you like to go?
Well, what am I signed up for? What are we doing? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I'm taking too many drugs this morning. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Get us on some European road.
Yeah.
Get it out there.
Yeah.
Definitely going to Wales again. Even though there's 20 mile an hour speed limits, I still think it's worth going.
So it's only in the towns.
Which is fine.
A lot of poo-pooing of Wales, but I think...
What that might do, it might make Wales even quieter. You know, because people stay away. No, it's not. Not working, Owen.
No.
From a local's point of view, what has the 20 mile an hour thing done? Can I pass you the microphone?
It's annoyed everybody, I would say.
Yeah, but what's the day, apart from the initial annoyance, has it sort of settled down that everybody's now ignoring it, or is it?
It's settled down to the point where everybody's going slower than they used to, but they're not doing 20 mile an hour.
Yeah.
So I'd say the average is probably sort of 28, 29 now.
Yeah.
But they haven't enforced it yet.
Oh, really?
So it's been more of a sort of cajoling, right? If you get stopped, they will just say, you know, the speed limit is now 20, you should be going slower.
Yeah.
But recently, I think just after Christmas, they said they're going to start enforcing it. So it'd be interesting to see what they're doing with that. But there's no more police on the road. There's no more speed cameras around. So I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you do run into trains of cars stuck behind the guy who is doing 20.
Yeah.
And that it changes your perception of, you know, the speed of traffic, especially as a pedestrian, right? If you're crossing a road and you see a car, you think, right, I can go now. But you're trying to change your perception of, are they doing 20? Are they doing 28? Are they doing 40? Because some people still do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's made it a bit of a strange situation. But I don't know. We're going to get a new first minister at some point in 2024, so it might go away again. So.
Ah, okay. Have they put up 20 signs everywhere, or is it?
They put them up initially, and then they took a load down.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be, if you can see a lamppost, then it's 20 mile an hour.
Yeah.
But there are farcical situations. I think I mentioned on the WhatsApp, right? I drove 8 miles back from my Porsche Indy back to my house.
Yeah.
And went through about 10 different speed limits. Just because it just goes up, down all the way, right? So it's just, it's absolute chaos.
So you're monitoring your speed rather than monitoring what
you're too busy.
Doing.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're staring at the speedo, not staring at the road, right? Which is not ideal.
Interesting.
So what about up on, like, in the countryside, on the Evo Triangle and that sort of thing? What's going on up there?
Well, I think the Evo Triangle's been speed cameras for ages, isn't it? But I think if you get onto the up into the Brecons and the Black Mountains, I think where you guys will start with the Wales road trip, right, is the speed limit is what the speed limit was, right? Yeah. So that they're okay. As you say, Lee, it's in town, right? So you'll crawl your way out of Abergavenny. But then once you get past the national speed limit sign, you know, a bit of a Harry Metcalf right foot down and off you go, isn't it? So.
Nice. That's good to hear a local's view of what's going down in Wales.
Thanks so much to our Wales correspondent.
Yeah. while we're on Wales, is as Owen the furthest travelled today? So I think you were like 3 hours, 6 minutes or something, I think I saw on your WhatsApp thing.
It may have come in slightly less than that.
Okay, well, that was predicted time.
What's he got out of the 20s?
Anybody further today? Is the record breaker.
No, nobody's as stupid as me.
No. Quite amazing. Thank you very much for the commitment.
Maybe Thomas, who's come from
Norway. Oh, yeah, of course. Thomas has come from Norway.
Welcome, Thomas.
Good to see you here, Thomas. The Porsche Hunter.
He's not come for the car, I think he's come for the Guinness, though. So. Yeah. And what we would like to say, just before we kind of continue on with the editorial, is our selection of goodies at the front, including a piece, a genuine piece, so the guy told me in the market, of a 963 race car. So Owen is the furthest travelled and very much in the spirit of Driven Not Hidden. There's a couple of Hot Wheels in there as well to go with our theme from Hot Wheels earlier on. So maybe you could give that to your kids or something. But it is a few for travelling so far. So Herculean effort. So very well done, sir.
Thank you. There's some wonderful, what do we call it? Chod.
Well, some nice bits and pieces in there. So, yeah, that'll do, won't it? That'll do.
Andy Gregory was telling me they've got 10,000 of those 963 bits up on the shelf.
So, all the same bit as well. It's all the same bit, yeah.
He phoned me last week and said, can you add some patina to it? Just a bit of dust to the box and you old stock it.
Yeah. And then suppose you've got a grinder. Yeah, right. Max, 2024 then. What's it looking like for you, good sir? You actually, you're going to be tweaking your Boxster.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Rumour. Rumours are true.
Yeah.
In fact, part
RWB.
Of that... No, because anyway, it fit on the track. That held me back today. I made some bad choices in the Hot Wheels thing. Despite bringing the most cars, I had the least success. Disappointing. Next time.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I reckon Simon Jessop stitched me up somehow.
Yeah.
I think he fiddled with my cars. Yeah.
Need some driver coaching.
Possibly.
There was one round where you had four cars and you came...
Third, so, fourth, fifth and sixth.
Yeah, that's not good, is it?
In fact, I think I had a DNF as well. There we go.
Did one car take out another car?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're a big deal, lots of entries, these things happen.
Yeah. More to go wrong.
Exactly. So the Boxster, is actually getting some new tyres next week.
What are we going for?
PS4S. So, which as we talked about on the group, I can't get rear PS4S in my size, so I'm going upper width. I'm going from 265 to 275, so I'm going to get an extra 4 mil of ride height, which is fine. So it's like
a bit of Hot Wheel stance.
Exactly. So at 30, I'll be reading 29.66. So it's bugger all, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So so I'm really looking forward to that actually, because it's got these Goodyear Eagle F1s on it that have been on there for a while. And I'm so I'm excited about that. It's going to get geoed as well at the same time, either to straight or to fast road, and that's happening on Wednesday at RPM.
Oh, wonderful. I'd be interested to see how I get on with that, because I feel like my car needs a bit of that.
Yeah.
I need it. It's way too safe at the moment. It's just, do you know what? You could take your hands off the wheel and just drive down the road and it would be fine. Where I want it to be a little bit more, not twitchy, but turning on corners.
A little bit more alive.
Yeah, that's it. Is that what you're aiming for with yours?
Probably.
I'm not sure. Scared?
I'm not sure about that, but... But yeah, maybe a little bit sharper. I'm talking about it with Ollie. Ollie's got some ideas, so we'll see. I think I'll probably go straight to fast road and see if I like it, and then come back from there. If I don't, and then it's going to go back at some point, because I'm working on some hot rod parts from California at the moment. You know who I'm talking about, Lee?
No, but okay.
Giving you the wink.
So, but I need to get those bits into the country first, and then it'll go back to RPM for another bit.
Sounds very mystifying, doesn't it?
So that's all good fun. So I'm committing to the car. So I don't think Nick Moder's here today, but still not buying a car this year, Nick Moder.
Oh, I have to say, I think that's kind of most pertinent with you and your story is, as we all know, listening to the podcast, you know, you do like a peruse of the marketplace, which is fantastic. And, you know, mentally you're in a different car every week. But I feel like your relationship with your Boxster is developing and evolving to the point where, as one thing to say, I'm going to keep it, but you're actually chucking a bit of money at it.
Yeah.
Just in terms of tweaks, which, you know, so you're quite literally putting your money where your mouth is and parking yourself mentally with a Boxster at least for a fortnight. But that's nice, you know, for someone that's always had 911s, and I feel like you're really starting to dig that mid-engine platform.
Yeah, I mean, increasingly comfortable with not being a 911 owner. I think the pairing that I have is brilliant. I'm very happy. Very, very happy. So, and all of those, you know, that little round of mods, I did all that on the 997 and it was really good. So I'm hoping to get some similar outcomes with Boxster.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what these mods are from the US.
Mm. Wow. All will be revealed.
Cloak and dagger.
All will be revealed. But, you know, I'm probably most excited of all about getting the tyres on and knowing that it's at least perfectly straight. Or not that I don't think it is, but you don't know, do you? You know, there's nothing in the service book about it having had a Geo.
Yeah.
And it's a 2015 car with 50,000 miles on it. It'd be great to get the tyres on, know that it's, you know, straight or this fast road setup, and just see how different it feels, or hopefully how much better it feels. So, I'm really looking forward to that. And then the other bits will come in due course. And then my other, this year I will go to the Porsche Museum this year.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm signed up for that.
I haven't released a road trip. I don't know.
I think I've had too much
beer
over Christmas. I've got no idea what's going on.
We can go.
I'll come to that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, can we go, Lee?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, to be fair, it happened a year ago. We kind of hadn't planned, and then people said we'd quite like to go off to having Iris, the curator at the museum, on the podcast, and that's kind of how it all happened. And then, like, Nick came along, and Owen, and a few others from here, Patrick, Devin.
Or are you thinking
of
going separate? Oh, I don't know.
it might do. I don't know. But that's
we don't know what we're doing yet. All right.
Always,
I have to admit, I'm not hell bent on driving, because I mean, God knows where my cars are built. One was built in Poland, probably, and the other in Leipzig.
Yeah.
So I'm not bothered about this. So I'm going to take it back home thing.
For its home.
Because
yeah.
I'll end up somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it's still the case, actually, but certainly like 3 or 4 years ago, it was a British Airways flight from Heathrow to Stuttgart. I think it was BA918 out and 919 back. And I've always wondered, if someone at British Airways got a couple of Porsches on the drive and thinks, I know, we need to get the numbering right at the flights.
That's cool.
I don't know. Could be.
So if anyone fancies flying in, Uber to the museum, stay over, fly back home again.
Yeah.
That's another option to repatriating your car to where it came from or where it didn't come from, depending on where it was built.
Have I ever told you the story? I'm sure I have on the podcast, but correct me if I haven't, of we got a taxi after flying into Stuttgart, and then Porsche gave us some vouchers. So we were doing some work at the museum, and the guys very kindly said, for your taxi back to the airport, then fly back to the UK, here's some vouchers you can just use. So I told the story. Right. And basically, yeah, so we hailed this cab, got in, and basically said airport, you know, Flugplatz, and then presented these two vouchers, and the taxi driver absolutely lost it, because obviously he thought it's a cash job, and we've come along with these papers he's got to give to the company, and he was absolutely fuming, swearing at us in German the entire way to the airport. We got there, we'd barely got our bags out the back, we were pretty much apologizing to this guy because we had no cash, and honestly he was that fuming he couldn't wait to go. He drove off and the back passenger door was still open. He could not wait to get away from us. But yeah, I'll always remember that. But yeah, if you want to get a taxi from the airport, just make sure you take some euros, I'd say, and pay properly. So I think at this point it'd be good
how
to get
you, what are you doing
for this year? I'll be making up as I go along, same as any other year, Andy. Now I've obviously put some new tires on the front of my car.
What you put on? PS5s,
yeah, so it's PS5s all around. Fantastic tire, and as Andy was saying to you on the way here this morning, it's a nice little drive before others were on the road, and almost too much grip, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, at the front of the car, but
too safe, like Mr. Brooks was
saying. Well, I don't know about too safe.
Not enough speed.
Just too much grip.
There's almost. Just a little bit for me, so anyway. Good. But yeah, there's a little bit of camber on the front, so the insides of both tyres were worn. But to be fair, did 2 years, probably 15 odd k miles. So I think that's, you know, and that's the thing where you're saying, Max, you know, the setup of Fast Road. Been in industry 13 years and I still don't know what this mythical Fast Road setup is, because everyone's definition is different.
Well, that's exactly what I said to Ollie on the telephone when we were chatting. I said, I just want to know that it's straight. You know, that's what I really care about. But I know there's this Fast Road thing, whatever the hell that actually is. And he did articulate it to me. I won't do him an injustice by trying to, because I can't remember exactly what he said.
Yeah.
But it did kind of make sense what he was saying. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that, you know, that sounds good, what you're saying. We'll have to get him on to repeat it, but so I'm gonna give it a try.
Well, the other thing is, maybe for a bit of advice, is you're dead right, Max, in terms of geo. If your car's not been done recently, definitely do it, you know, as bushes perish and things kind of get out of whack and out of alignment, and just making sure your geo is tip top can really further your ownership experience. The other thing is, once you've had your geo done, because again, tapping into this mythical Fast Road, your definition of Fast Road clearly isn't the same as Andy's, you know. Andy's like, you know, you like a bit of death in there.
Scary road.
So have it tweaked, and then, you know, if the specialist is worth their salt, you know, they will invite you to then go and drive it, test it, and then take it back, and you might just need, you know, when mine was done, I think a year ago, the specialist did it, and I had to take it back and say, it's just got to dial the front off. It was a bit too darty for me, but you know, everyone's different, so it's just worth bearing that in mind, I would say. But that, and we spoke at the end of last year, and we did that fantastic curry night, Toby, with yourself and Nick Moda. And they're talking about the shift in Little Irish of fitting some RS cables next week at Right Tune. So that'll be the start of that journey,
really?
Of just shoring up the gearbox.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that'll be really nice. Just something.
That will make such a difference.
Yeah,
to your car.
100%. Yeah.
It's really quite sticky at the moment.
When it's cold, it's like the sword in the stone. It just doesn't move really at all. So
it's quite a, just, yeah, it's like, you know, like porridge that's gone cold.
Okay.
And it's quite stiff.
Okay.
That's what your gear stick feels
stiff
like.
Stiff porridge. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to feel very good, I tell you. Yeah. It's going to make a big difference.
You want soggy porridge. That's what you're going looking for.
No porridge necessarily.
No porridge. Yeah.
So, talking about your stiff shifter, that does...
what a hole have we gone there?
We're selling out.
That does remind me. No, I'm about to bring it back. Don't worry.
Okay.
That does remind me. I'd already committed to these things that I was going to do to the Boxster anyway, but I had breakfast just before New Year with James Good, who isn't here today.
Is that the one that's got the wrong coloured wheels?
It is, yeah. And he forced me into the driving seat of his graphite blue 901.2 GTS. Yeah. He said, you've got to drive it. It was a pretty grotty day, but okay, because I was quite curious, because it's the manual, 7-speed manual, which I've never driven before. So I had a little go, you know, did 5 or 6 miles in it, because I thought, as you know, Lee, that's a car that could have been a direction that I would maybe want to go. Mm-hmm. But after driving the car, I got back out and got into mine and decided I was very happy in mine. I did quite enjoy the car, but and I did say to James, I'd like to drive it again, you know, on a nice dry day. He can drive my car, I'll drive his, all that kind of thing. But I definitely didn't think I got to own this car at all. I enjoyed the gearbox, although I did go from sixth, because I was worried about going to seventh, I went into third. But fortunately, I was in sport mode, so the auto blipper. Yeah. I wasn't going that fast either, so it didn't matter. But I was very conscious of the of the gears, which, you know, people say they want more involvement in their driving. So get a seven-speed manual, I'd say. It's a lot to think about. And the shift is really nice over the top, but when it goes into the gear, it's nowhere near as nice as my Boxster in terms of how it, you know, actually engages the gear.
Mm-hmm.
So my gearbox is definitely better.
Fluffing.
Yeah. but yeah, so that was a really interesting experience. So thank you, James Good, for that, because it helped me. It probably helped me commit even more to this these things I'm doing with the Boxster.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Nice.
Throwing out there to the collective and the audience. So I'd say maybe we've got 30. This is for the benefit of people listening at home. I would guess, say, 30 people. So we'll start with, like, buying boots, first of all. Is anybody thinking this year that they might change a car at all? Maybe a show of hands? Or are we sticking with what we've got?
Jesus.
Of course Simon is.
Oh, okay, there's a couple come. Slowly. PP, I can't believe your hand's not gone up. Yeah. So to be, okay, yeah. So maybe, I don't know, five out of... You know, don't worry, anonymity is assured. So, you know, don't worry.
Yeah, your wife's not going to listen.
Right, yeah, Greg and Rachel in the corner, yeah. That's not as much as I was thinking, to be fair.
Little gentle hand of Andy Bowers went up there. Probably... But a little bit sheepish, probably, because he's turned up already in his brand new car that he's just got. Congratulations, Andy Bowers.
Yeah, very good.
Beautiful very car. Good.
Very, very nice. I need to give him a mic, really. Where's the
pop the mic over to Andy.
Yeah.
Is that all right? So 992 GT3 ownership, Andy Bowers. How's it treating you so far?
Yeah, it's amazing. I got to 800 miles this morning. So picked it up Friday before Christmas. Max is calling me every day asking me if the GTS is going. and I think it probably will at some point in 24. And there's a number of options, I guess, in terms of what will replace it. And it might well be, it won't be another Spider Nicholas. Because I've got a bald head, I just can't live with topless motoring.
You've got nothing to lose.
Apart from maybe skin cancer. But I think in terms of the GTS is a four-wheel drive. It's amazing. We went to the museum in it this last year, and it was phenomenal. And I really fell in love with it, so it was very tough to part with it. So that's why the Spider went, frankly.
I was surprised at that, with the keeping the GTS and the touring car.
But I just didn't put any miles really on the Spider. I wasn't really. It is a very focused drive. It really is quite a handful. It's quite leery. So I think the GTS might make way for something else. And the touring is phenomenal. I took Nick for a bit of a spin this morning. There's a lot of people out there who've got a lot to say about the handling and the ride and all the rest of it. I just haven't experienced that at all. It's very compliant. The steering is magical. It's a GT3. It's a modern GT3. It's not Turbo S fast, but it is a proper weapon.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll be parting with that anytime soon. You'll probably have to bury me in that, I think, after 800 miles. And I just want to put loads of miles on it, frankly.
Lovely.
So that's what I want to do with it.
Nice.
Fantastic. Well done.
Love it, Andy. Superb. Yeah. I was going to ask really for a bit of a straw poll from the people looking to buy a car, whether it's going to be like air or water or other. But it's maybe we need to warm the temperature up before we start diving into the marketplace and people start swapping cars. So we might save that for another time. But what we will do is touch on road trips. We've mentioned we'd all like to do road trips this year and whatnot. So maybe show of hands, who is definitely going to be doing a road trip in their Porsche this year?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
So that's a strong 95%, I would say, if not everybody. Destinations, please, ladies and gents. Where are you going? Go for it. Yeah, Dave. Jump on.
So went down to the Swiss Alps and the Nürburgring last year in the 996 and
really felt like I gained like proper mastery of that car. Felt so comfortable in it, but also really found its limits, which then started me down this path to now GT ownership, because going to the Nürburgring on that trip, it was like, right, I see what a Porsche can do. Now I want more from my Porsche. And those two little GT letters became important. So this year, I'd really like to go back to the Nürburgring with the GT4 and try and find the limits of that, but also go to the Grossglockner Pass in the Austrian Alps and go and visit Fat Mankai up there, new destination. So I'm hoping to do that in August. Really looking forward to it. And yeah, just really want to get into Europe in the GT4 now and properly stretch its legs. That's the important part.
Brilliant, brilliant. There's a few nods to the head there in agreement with you for visiting Fat Mankai as well. So yeah. It's any other destinations from the audience? Yeah, go for it. Can we chat that over?
Russell. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Russell Quirk. I don't know if it counts as a road trip, more of an air and a road trip. I'm going to Luftecourt in Southern California. I don't know if you've ever been to that. Mm-hmm. I did Luft 8 and 9. So 8 was in LA, 9 was in San Francisco last year, and 10 is in somewhere in Southern California, although they keep it secret for some reason until 2 weeks before. It's a bit like those old raves from the 80s and the 90s. You know, you get a text a few days beforehand that tells you where it is. So flying to LA, hiring a 911, which is what I did last year, which was a really fabulous experience, and then driving to wherever that destination might be.
Costa Mesa, I think I saw it was...
Yeah, they haven't... They said it's somewhere in the heart of Orange County, yeah. But that could be anywhere because it's bloody massive. But Luftecourt, for those that don't know about it or haven't been, notwithstanding a Nineworks event, of course, which are the pinnacle, the Luftecourt thing in the US is amazing. I mean, the last one I went to in San Francisco was in an old derelict naval yard.
That was a good shout going to that one.
It was amazing. Yeah. And there were 1,000 911s there. So they had about 500 air-cooled cars on the Saturday, 500 water-cooled cars on the Sunday, and it was an absolutely incredible experience. Singer themselves had at least 4 cars there, so that's how seriously the whole thing was taken. Lots of motorsport stuff, and literally one of everything that you can imagine from kind of the late 50s all the way out to the present day. So if that counts as a road trip, I'm lucky enough to be doing that.
Yeah, that's great, Russell. I would say as well for our listeners that are maybe mainland Europe-based or even our listeners that are East Coast US-based, I think it's fantastic you're jumping on a long-haul flight to go to a car show. So you've added a lot of colour there, but maybe as a one-sentence synopsis, if people are thinking, oh, I might do that, you know, why should people get on that plane?
I think no disrespect to events in the UK and Europe. Look, the US are famous for doing everything bigger. And this is, I mean, I know you guys went to Rennsport Reunion last year, which I'm sure is amazing. I've never done that. And that's every...
I was at Luft 8.
8. Yeah, yeah. So that was LA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as I was. I just think it's the biggest and almost the best curated event that you could go to in the world, which I think is a pretty good reason to go.
Lovely.
So are you going, Russell, because they've split out their two brands now, haven't they? They're doing an air water and then they're doing Luft separately. Which one are you?
Well, so Luft, air and water is over the whole weekend. So air is Saturday, as I understand it, like last year, and water is on the Sunday. I did hear a rumour that they were going to do a European event, which I think they did. I think Luft 5 was Europe. So if they do anything like they do in the US here in Europe somewhere, I mean, look, fingers crossed it's here in Britain, but I suspect it will be somewhere else in mainland Europe. Then if they do that, then obviously, because that's not quite as much of a journey, that would be definitely worth going to. It's just the amount of cars, the volume of cars is one thing, but just the stuff that they manage to curate, you know, where you can see a load of motorsport stuff, 10 RSs, you know, 2.7 RSs, next to a load of 964 3.8 RSs. I mean, it's just stuff that you don't get to see in the flesh normally. It's such a prestigious, such a large event. It's just, look, for me, worth going to, and it's an excuse to go to the States. And it's and the weather's slightly better there, believe it or not.
So they are coming back to Europe this year.
Yeah.
So they're about to release the date and location of air and water, and then they're doing a Luft, if you like, in the States as well. So they're certainly three events that they're,
and
that
did
they're
you,
doing.
Did you know that the artwork for the air water was done by Justice? By Craig Justice.
Dorset's
one of our
finest.
Members. Yeah, and Dorset member. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well done, Craig.
Okay, so Russell, you're going to be going west.
Greg and Rachel, I hope you don't mind me throwing you under the bus. If it's okay if Russell wouldn't mind passing the mic, right? So you guys are going northeast and you're doing a hell of a road trip, if you wouldn't mind elaborating.
Yeah, we are indeed. I know you decided that last year you were doing your inaugural trip to Norway to visit the guys there. And this year you have something similar planned. Slightly different format. I gather there's a plan for a lot of guys to fly over and take on maybe cars sort of hired or borrowed when you get there. We've decided to drive it.
Yes.
So we want to spend probably about 4 days getting there, up through Germany and Denmark into Sweden and then Norway, to meet you there for, I believe it's your Constitution Day, is that correct, Thomas? Yeah. And then come down to the event in Garanga, and then we're going to drive home again. So fantastic. Really, awesome. Very much looking forward to that.
How cool is that? Yeah, very good. Driven, not hidden.
Might have slightly bought the 996 in preparation as well.
So. You decided it was cheaper than taking the 928.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But how good is that? Is it, yeah, memories to be made there for you both, obviously. And yeah, again, all through the fabulous conduit of a Porsche, I say.
Indeed it is.
Fantastic. Yeah, any other cool destinations within the collective?
There you've got...
Yeah.
Oh, Andy Bowser's
Andy, where
one.
You off to, yeah.
Pass the mic.
We'll wrap up. Two.
Cheers, I'm going to bore everyone now, aren't I? So me and the missus are going to take the whole of August because I've been working at the company that I'm with for 15 years, so I get a sabbatical.
Oh, lovely.
And we're going to take the touring down to Puglia.
Oh, brilliant.
And plot a route and go down there and back, so put some proper miles on it. Touring's for touring, so we thought we'd use it for what it's intended.
I stayed in a lovely place in Puglia a couple of times. We'll talk about that.
Lovely. Excellent, Max.
I said, it doesn't matter where you go, he knows where to get a coffee, doesn't he?
Or a kebab.
Or a kebab. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, Donners and Duck Towels is going global. Yeah, fantastic. I say, just before we wrap up, we're just projects, really. Like any cool projects that's going on amongst the collective, any DIY bitsy pieces going on?
There's got to be some mechanic. Oh, look. Oh,
yeah, yeah, there. Wheel in the corner. Wheel jump on, mate, if you can.
Sorry, thanks for having me, guys.
To. Oh, yeah, you bought a roof and a dashboard.
Yeah, I was getting there, Andy, thank you. Yeah. So I've bought a right-hand drive 1968 912, which I called the Rust Bucket because it was a Rust Bucket. But now I've labelled it Christmas because I bought it Christmas before last and it was going to be ready by last Christmas and now I don't think it'll be ready by this Christmas. But it's quite special, so that's cool. And then I've also bought a... 964 race car with a 3.8 litre twin spark, so I'm going to do an RS evocation this year as well. So got two in the running, and then I need to go make some money now to try and pay for them. So that's pretty much it. So those are my kind of two at the moment that I'm doing. So
excellent. That 964 is an ex race car, isn't it? From
yeah,
Rent. Yeah, awesome.
So yeah, racing sort of Porsche that, Club or? And all that stuff, and won a few championships and things. And yeah, it rips. It sounds great. So yeah, it's cool.
Awesome, yeah. Is the plan?
And it's not that bent, although I've watched it fly off the track on YouTube a few times. So that's good.
Talking about Geo, eh?
The chassis is fine.
You need to get all four wheels to touch the ground at the same time.
Yeah, I forgot to do that as well. Yeah, so.
And you need to sort out your GG3. Have you met Toby yet? Toby, you need to.
No, yes, I do need to chat to you about my dodgy GT3 as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, then we'll let this, I guess, as a bit of a pre-series pod just to introduce the year really and see what's in store. It sounds like lots of people are waiting for us to release the road trips then, really.
Yeah.
Well, to see where we're all off going. Yeah,
I forgot.
Everybody's going somewhere, which is fantastic. So we will have some bits and pieces coming up in due course. And once we start populating the website under the events tab as well, you can see what we're doing month to month. But of course, there's a Porsche culture and industry outside of the collective, of course. Andy, we'll look forward to following you with what you're doing with your Stuttgart meets as well. So it goes without saying, like, thanks very much again for having us here at Heritage Parts. We really appreciate that.
A pleasure. And thanks for everyone who came down. It's been a good morning. Hopefully you've enjoyed yourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, the first airing for all the cars. So ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for coming along today. Safe journey home and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Well, man, what a lovely show. Great to kick things off for 2024, see so many of the collective and talk Porsche.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was a cracking morning, wasn't it? Absolutely brilliant morning. That's an event that I missed last year. So I was...
Yeah, it was fresh for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fresh for me. So I was really looking forward to it because I was a bit envious last year because I thought it looked so cool in the pictures. So I was really looking forward to it. And it's just, I mean, it's really clever. You know, kudos to you guys and Andy Gregory for having that idea and bringing it together. Because, I mean, why not have an event in January where you can get cars and people out of the cold? It's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It was a funny moment for me, sort of mid-morning. I was outside. I managed to nab myself a coffee and sausage bap. And I looked around looking at all the cars and I suddenly realized there's no people around these cars at all. So I wandered into the warehouse where some more of the cars are parked among the 25,000 Porsche and VW and Land Rover parts that are in there. Still no people. And I'm wandering around, you know, like a lost soul. And eventually down one of the aisles, I heard this hubbub that turned into this raucous noise. And it turns out everybody at the meet was down this aisle around your Hot Wheels, Andy. And there was this Hot Wheels drag racing going on. And I just thought, this is brilliant. We are positively bonkers. Look at us. It was magic.
Yeah, it went down well, I think. It was. It took a little bit of warming up, but once we were going, it was great. It was good fun. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was fun, wasn't it? You know, that's kind of one of the cool things about that venue, as you say, Lee. You go in there and it is a bloody massive warehouse full of a lot of car parts, but quite wide aisles. And, you know, you go down one and there's a Boxster and a 996, then there's a GT3, then there's things just dotted around. And then, as you say, you get to that one aisle where Andy's car is, you think, well, I have a look at Andy's SC. And then there's this blooming Hot Wheels lineup going on.
Yeah.
Just a cool environment.
Yeah. I must say thank you to my PT, Andy Keegan, who lent me the Hot Wheels track. He's an absolute nutter. For his kids at Christmas, he always goes all out, either creating some big train set, or this year it was Hot Wheels, and he lent me the track and a few cars, and it was just so inventive because I don't know if you noticed those lights that were at the end,
they were
all homemade with like little Hot Wheels stickers on them and stuff, and the little bit that went over the track halfway down that said the Hot Wheels logo on it, that was all homemade.
Oh, right.
It was just, fantastic. So thank you, Mr. Keegan.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it too much, but it didn't go well for me. I did feel a bit disappointed.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd better mention it first before anyone else does.
You came with a bag, didn't you? The full set.
I came with a carefully curated set of entries for that. And
They were like picked from your best.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
I thought about it. I thought, what's going to be good in that racing scenario?
Yeah.
And it just went really badly. I lent one to Nick Jeffrey and he crashed it, flipped it out of the track. And the ones that I went with, you know, I kept the best one for myself. I thought, this is a winner, this. And then I even had a backup that I thought would also be a winner. They were rubbish. Very disappointing.
I guess we should do an honourable mention to Rachel May for her win in the 928.
Yeah.
Which is actually a replica of her own car.
Ah.
Yeah. What a beast that thing was. It just...
Yeah. She creamed everyone, didn't she?
It whooped. Absolutely. It was solid. It was, you know, just straight down the road, just like a proper 928.
Yeah.
Foot down. Could have been Mr. Bickle inside driving.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's worth saying again, we're really grateful to the guys at Heritage for opening their doors to us for our first event of the year. It's becoming a nice annual pilgrimage down there, really, and ducking inside out of the cold weather. So thank you to the guys at Heritage Parts for that. And don't forget, you can get up to 10% off your basket at heritagepartscentre.com by entering the code 9WORKS10 at the checkout. I was expecting to be absolutely hammering that discount code pretty sharpish as well. I went to, I spoke to you, Max, been looking at a couple of Boxsters, 986 yeah. Boxsters, just over the festive period, started looking. Yeah, you know, you just get a bit bored.
Yeah.
I get a bit bored anyway, and Max, I know you definitely do. You dive on the marketplace, you know, right? Where are we going then? And I don't know. Those 986s just keep winking at me, and I think I've said before on the podcast and my YouTube channel that I like Little Irish as is. I don't want to fiddle with it just for the sake of content.
Yeah,
I just like the car as is. So I'd like to dive into another project and maybe something that's a bit more of a daily driver, something that Mrs. Sibbs can use as well and everything else. And I just think they're outstanding value for money, like of any sports car at all. So been looking and went to look at one the same day as Bicester Heritage.
Yeah.
Bicester Scramble, Bicester Scramble, whatever it is. And went and had a look at one up Cheddar Gorge Way as a Guards Red 3.2S. But didn't buy it for a number of reasons, but it definitely confirmed to me, and I think I've said this on the pod before, that I think a 2.7 is the way to go for me, because with a 3.2S, there's just too much overlap with a 3.4996 in terms of power to weight. The S gets the bigger brakes and whatnot, slightly firmer as well with the suspension, and of course the 6-speed, whereas the 2.7's 5-speed. Okay. So I've kind of regressed a little bit from that viewing and thought, is that just a heinous waste of money? And the answer, of course, is yes, but that doesn't stop us, does it, gents? But I don't know. We'll see how it goes, really. See how it goes. But
so what drew you to that, to want to view that particular car? Because you already had in your mind that maybe the 3.2S wasn't the 986 Boxster for you,
wasn't it?
Was it a pretty car? Did it draw you in?
The first thing was the purported condition, because again, as I've said before, the three things to consider when purchasing a Porsche, particularly 986, 996 platform, is condition. There are thousands of them out there, and it's more important to be led on that than anything else. I mean, it was red, which is lovely, I think, on a Boxster, but it was more the condition. It was owned, like, same owner for 10 years, looked really nice in the pictures and everything else, had a chat with a guy, some positive noises over the phone. But when I went up there, it needs things, as these cars often do. I think the owner, by his own admission, had said that he hadn't spent a lot on the car in 10 years. Oh. And it wasn't, wasn't quite.
Alarm bells.
Yeah, and just like little stuff, like, you know, oh, the aircon's been regassed. Fantastic, you know, regassed last month, ready to go for summer. You go, brilliant, get down on your knees, have a look at the aircon condensers in the front of the car. They're in two pieces. Yeah, the bottoms are lying on the inside of the bumper. And, you know, just things like that. Arms-wise, because obviously Heritage Parts, they've got a link up with Mylar arms, and I use those on my 996. Fantastic value, and they last for ages. Got a big warranty with them. And they're pretty price-friendly. So things like that, actually, that, you know, they on that Boxster were fine. But it was the other bits that would cost a lot, and the bodywork wasn't tip-top as well. So, yeah, just not quite my... Not quite my bag. I'm up for a project, but it needs to be the right
solid
sort of project,
base project.
I guess. Yeah.
Better to go for something that's bodily good.
Yes.
And that you can do a bit of mechanical stuff.
100%. 100%. Yeah. So, but yeah, I was chatting to Jamie at Paragon, because his own personal car is a 2.7986. And next time I visit Paragon, I might ask if I could just have a quick whiz in that, just to confirm. But I just like the difference. And although, you know, obviously there's a hell of a lot of difference between a mid-engine Boxster platform and a rear-engine 911, it has to be said. But part of it was, I got back in my car afterwards and almost had a sigh of relief. I just, you know, got 100 yards down the road and thought, oh my God, I love this car. I love it. So, you know, it wasn't a wasted exercise, because you're constantly finding out and trying things and exploring, aren't you? But not to be so far, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. And I suppose you are, if you want to buy it in the winter, you're sort of slightly on the clock, aren't you? Because we'll get to May and the prices will start to go up and you'll think, nah, sod that.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this is it. So I did exactly this last year, Max, as well. Like, I thought, I'm going to buy a Boxster. Couldn't find the right one. Then it came to spring. And obviously in the UK anyway, the first sniff of summer, all the prices elevate slightly. And they absolutely do, because I watched it last year. So for the same chod, you know, kind of fish at the bottom of the barrel, which is what it was at that point, they'd all just edged up too much. And you think, I'm not just not paying that. I don't mind paying money, but it's value I'm after.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that. And so there is a bit of a countdown on that. My mistake last year, I think, was talking about it on the pod. and here I am. So I
talking
think,
about it on the pod.
Yeah, but well, this is it. I think, you know, by virtue of the fact, because I haven't told anyone. I've been looking. You know, you boys and now everybody else kind of first to know, I guess. But I think in talking about it is probably a signifier that I'll probably shy away at this stage and do something sensible, maybe like, you know, develop the house or something I should do rather than should not. But yeah, I don't know. They're just, if you can find the right one, I can't think of a sports car that's better value for money. I just can't, you know, it's ridiculous value. So if you are shopping out there, then absolutely best of luck to you. And yeah, maybe a 27's the way to go. Cause I also had visions as well of, you know, we could loan it to people in the DNHC, particularly like if people internationally are coming over and want to join one of our road trips. It's a long way to bring their own Porsche. We'll jump in that Boxster and have a load of fun. I think a lot of people are realizing, and this was a bit of a common theme at the warehouse in my conversations I was having at the weekend, is people more and more are looking backwards into, you know, historical Porsche sports cars for their fix. The new cars are lovely, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with looking backwards. And you know, a Boxster obviously fits into that vibe for a good, usable, fun sports car for the road.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. You're right. Well, I'm sold. You know, I'm sold on the Boxster thing. So, yeah, you know, I get you. It's a different thing, but it's, you know, it's its own thing, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, nice. Well, this is it, you know, a bit of inspiration from you and what you're doing. And obviously you spoke at Heritage on the pod about where you're going with that Boxster project. So,
yeah. I was driving the car yesterday, actually. And on my most sort of common, you know, journeys that I do round locally. And as I was driving it, I did think, because people will have heard this on the pod, when we were talking about fast road setup, in that moment, I couldn't recall the details of the conversation that I'd had with Ollie at RPM when we were talking about it. But as he and I were talking about it, I was thinking about this particular sequence of bends context of what he was saying. And as I went through there yesterday, not very fast because it was like -2 degrees, but it sort of brought some more of the details of that conversation back. And what Ollie was saying, the way that he approaches a fast road setup, is that what they're trying to get out of the car is that when you get into the bend, so when you turn into the bend and the car moves onto the outside tires, a fast road setup for them is to set the car up for that moment, because to give you more confidence and more feeling when you're in the bend. And the trade-off is that the thing is slightly less stable in a straight line.
Yeah, that's the scariness that I'm looking for. But the small amount of scariness
I'm
looking for.
Yeah, so
that's what I want out of my G.
So it's that.
I think searching for the same thing.
That's the trade-off. So that's and I'm, you know, that sounds interesting to me. You know, when you're in that part of the corner, that phase of the corner, I like the idea that the car's giving me more because it's taking more of the tire at that point.
Yeah.
And the sacrifice is it gets a little bit less. I mean, I'm not expecting to be tank slapping down the road, you know.
No, that's
like I'm on an old motorbike, but you know, there is going to be
it's just going to be a bit more concentration when you're in a straight. My car at the moment, as I said, it's safe, you know, totally safe in that you could take your hands off the wheel and it would just go down the road. Any bump, any camber would almost not take it off its deviate off its line. But you want something that's a little bit more, you have to concentrate when you're driving it in a straight line, because that then gives you the better cornering aspects.
So I'm looking forward to that. I will report back as I as I go through this first stage of the project with it.
Lovely. So why were you driving a 964 after the Heritage event then, Max? What was that all about?
That was courtesy of the kindness of Simon Jessop, ace snapper Simon Jessop, who's become a really good friend of mine actually over the last year or so. And you know, he buys more cars than the rest of us put together, it feels like, doesn't he?
he
really goes for it. He's fully committed, and he's got this lovely looking 964. And you know, it was in the winter. It wasn't even in the spring. It could be nearly a year ago when he was running his red 993 and the red 32 Carrera that I drove both of them on the same day, and that was a real that was a really significant moment in my Porsche journey. As I've talked about many times. So ever since he bought the 964, he was really keen for me to drive that, just to add that into my into my experience. So he had the car with him. I had a little bit of time. I didn't particularly have anywhere to be afterwards. So he said, you know, drive the car. And I mean, the great thing for him is that meant that he got to drive my Mechanis diesel as well.
Oh, the lucky boy.
So I left Heritage Parts Centre. There's a little video on Instagram of me going up the road looking very cool in this red 964 C2, which has that sort of common sort of RS look about it. It's got aero mirrors and 17-inch cups on it and a bit of stance. It's guards red, and it looked amazing. And obviously I moved off into traffic because that's life, isn't it? But I got to say, I felt very cool. I probably didn't look cool. I probably looked like I was popping out of it because it's quite a small car. But I felt like a cool dude, like Jessup looks like, you know. I thought, yeah, man, I've got it going on here. You know, just little things that I'm not used to these days, like the upright windscreen, the little quarter lights that you get in a 964.
It's lovely, isn't it?
That as much as looking down the bonnet at the headlights just made me think, you know, this is it. Really interesting. I mean, it is nearly a year since I drove the other two cars. So, but I, you know, that's the car that sits in between the other two. And I felt, interestingly, more 3.2 out of it than I did 993.
Mm-hmm.
When we did eventually get to up the pace a little bit, I did at one point find myself, I overbroke into a really interesting corner because at first I didn't probably give it enough because I was thinking, okay, so this is a 964, so it feels like the 3.2 more than the 993, but because it's a 964, I think I can get up it a bit more, you know, because it's got ABS and that sort of thing. Probably fooled myself into thinking. So I went for the brakes and it didn't stop. So I then I did end up over braking for that corner, but I did really enjoy the car. I found it a little bit firm. You know, the roads were pretty craggy. Probably didn't help that I'd stepped out of a Macan and I drive a Boxster quite often.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost, the amount of feedback you get from the car was almost overwhelming for me. I'm just not used to that amount of information coming through.
Yeah. Used to those big fat tire walls on the Macan.
Yeah. So that took a bit of getting used to, but that was kind of fun. But I did think, I wonder what this would be like on 16s with a bit more sidewall and a bit more ride height. Not that it's a slammed car, but it's definitely a firm, stanced car. It's on Bilsteins.
Yeah, I don't remember it being particularly over crashy or anything. I felt it was a lovely driving car, actually.
Yeah.
So I think your calibration, your senses maybe, is the reason that you're thinking that way.
It's the context, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I thought it was slow as well. I was expecting it to be a bit faster. I thought it ran out of revs a bit quickly.
Yeah.
And it definitely isn't. And I think this is characteristic of the bigger motors. Didn't have it's the only 964 I've driven, of course, now. So I don't know if others are different. It didn't have the zing that the 3.2 had. You know, it's quite a torquey motor, which is quite useful when you're pottering along. But then it didn't build to a crescendo, I think. I found myself coming towards the red line, wondering where the zing was at the top. Yeah. And it kind of wasn't there. But that could be as much about the torque as it was about the lack of top end. But it certainly helped to row the thing along. And the thing that I did really enjoy was the controls, the way that the gearbox and the brakes... And it was just a really nice car to drive along the road. You could get into a really nice rhythm with it. It was easy to rev match. And that was really, really nice. So, I mean, obviously I was super cautious because it was really cold. It's Simon's car. You know, it's a much older car that I'm used to driving. I definitely didn't want to stick it in the boonies. That would not have been, not have been appropriate at all. So, so, you know, I did really enjoy it, but my overwhelming memory, I think that I didn't enjoy it as much as the 3.2 Carrera. I know it's a long time ago that I drove those two cars and I drove the other two back to back, but I thought it feels more 3.2 than 993. And of the three, I still think that the 3.2 is my favorite. so far. So yeah. There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
No, good nice.
Let's take you back a little bit further to an SC soon.
Well, yeah.
See what you think of that. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. You know, folk talk about, and I think we've touched on it a little bit, about, you know, the SC relative to the 3.2 and how that has even more zing. You know, again, it's a smaller motor still. You know, maybe I'd like that even more.
Yeah. Coming to you soon, Max. Coming to you soon.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So thanks again to Simon. That was, you know, that was a really fun, you know, hour after the Heritage meet. You know, it was such a cool opportunity to drive, you know, such a cool car.
Yeah. Good man is Si. I enjoyed that as well. Yeah, good. Something we forgot to mention on Sunday, which we promised to mention, was a flat six show.
Yes.
So we have the date. This is an exclusive. It's been published nowhere else. And that is Saturday, July the 6th is the date at the Goodwood Circuit.
Amazing.
Woo-hoo! Looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. Get that in your diaries, everybody. The 6th of July.
Becoming a real go-to event in the season, isn't it? A fixture in everyone's diaries.
Absolutely.
That's two brilliant events over the last 2 years. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they said, I know there's a couple of people said, oh, it's the same weekend as the British Grand Prix, but actually it's always been the same weekend as the British Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And James Chu usually comes over from Ireland and does the flat six on the Saturday, flat six show, and then goes to Silverstone on the Sunday watch the Grand Prix. So it's a really nice kind of annual pilgrimage for him. But
also an Atelier's kebab as well.
Absolutely, he does.
He squeezed that in.
Yeah,
James knows what he's doing.
We're really, really looking forward to that and playing quite a large role in that this year, I guess.
Yeah, so we'll be increasing our effect, I guess.
Our presence will be known.
Yeah. So yeah, look out for more details coming, not only of the Flat Six show, but of our. Well, the DNHC, how we're going to get that rolling for the show. So, yeah, definitely get that in your diaries, everybody.
Amazing. Shall we finish up with some admin, Andy? We've got obviously some new joiners over the festive season.
So many.
Season.
I'm wondering. I'm going to
split
how,
it in two.
Let's see how we go. If it goes well and I don't stumble over too many names, we'll crack through. If not, I might split some until next week. Okay. First up is James Gray, rookie driver, raised in Essex. I was waiting for that. But moved to Andover, Hampshire. Yay.
Boo.
It's lots of chat here. Has had a Cayman S Black Edition for a couple of years. I didn't know there was a Black Edition of the Cayman. Now has a Gen 2997 Carrera S Coupe in manual in true Max spec, black on black with silver wheels.
Perfect.
There we go.
Bought that from Alex at RPM Technic.
Yeah.
Very happy with the car. Loves listening to the pod, etc. Oh, he's doing a long delayed trip to the Alps next June.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that's fantastic.
Great trip for that car. I've been in the Alps in my 97. It's really comes alive up there. That's fantastic.
Perfect for it. Okay. Greg Brett, works driver, based in Bridgend in the South Wales. We're getting quite a few Welsh boys of late.
Yeah.
Owen's got some friends.
Owen's influence, there. Yeah.
Yeah. Recently collected a 992 Carrera T manual.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes, yeah. Nice.
Which, interestingly, he moved away from a GT3 for that. He did have a 991.1 GT3, but has now got a Carrera T, so it'd be interesting to hear how he gets on.
That sounds like an engine scenario that, you know, that's it's you know, to go from a motorsport engine to a Carrera T. Yeah, I don't know, might be putting their thoughts into people's mouths, which aren't correct. But yeah, I don't know. It's quite a change, quite a change of scenery. Yeah.
Safety move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to hear how that gets on. Chris Day, works driver based in Bentley near Farnham. I drove past you last night. On the way back from my parents, I waved as I went past. Let's see what Chris has got. Wow, Chris has got a good old garage of all sorts of stuff, including an Alfa Romeo GT, Audi Quattro, and a GT 500 Mustang, along with a Porsche 997 Gen 1.5 Turbo. Oh, yes, oh, this cool, is man. Chris, isn't it?
With yeah, the, this is the Paragon car.
Yes, with the cocoa yeah. interior.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful GT Silver, thing. I think, with the cocoa interior and buckets, factory buckets.
Yeah.
Trimmed in cocoa. And it's got the Sport Classic wheels on it, you know, the Fuchs style wheel.
Yeah, it looks great, doesn't
great
it?
Great looking car. I remember when Chris, he came up with that and everyone was like, yeah, I remember that car from Paragon. Yeah. I wanted that as well.
Wanted that. Chris yeah, has got lots it. Of buyers. Yeah. Chris runs a company that moves cars around, lots of exotics. So if you need any cars moving, speak to Chris. Okay, Simon Robertson, Works Plus, taking advantage of the magazine sub.
Super duper.
He runs a 98 996 Aero Kit car.
Lovely.
And also has a 912 in Irish green.
Oh, very cool. What a lovely little combo that is as well.
Yeah, nice little combo. I think he also has, does he have a VW split screen as well? Yeah, I think so. He's based in Cheshire, East Cheshire.
Nice.
Okay. Another Works Plus driver, Norman Milne from Rutland in the East Midlands. He has a 992 GTS lightweight and a Boxster Spider 2021 and a Le Mans Club Sport.
Yes. Yeah. The Paul Stevens car.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Self and Norman had a little chat, and I'm sure that's the car that I saw at Bicester a good few years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. It's white with the reds, with the green and black stripe.
Yes.
Beautiful yeah. looking car.
Yeah, there are only a handful of those cars that Paul Stevens made, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool car.
Yeah, really cool. So next is Barney, a rookie driver. Who is from East Sussex, right? He was there on Sunday.
He was, yeah, yeah. I met Barney on Sunday.
Yeah, I met Barney as well. Great to meet you. Yeah. He's got a what he calls a scruffy high mileage 986 Boxster S and a 997.2 C4S.
Lovely.
Scruffy and high mileage. You might be a buyer for you, Barney.
Yeah.
You need to get rid. he's sat on the microphone just to
we had a really good chat at the warehouse on Sunday, actually. So yeah, there was no indication to sell.
Oh, really?
No indication to sell.
Okay. Privateer driver Ashley Philpott, based in Maidstone in Kent, drives a 2003 996 turbo in seal grey that was purchased from Paragon a couple of months ago. It's another Paragon car.
I do want to say there as well that I know I mentioned this on our DNHC WhatsApp group to the community, but I think it's awesome that Ash has joined the collective. So without really knowing the guy too much, back in the day, back in my Volkswagen days, so obviously having the vinyl on the roof, you know, instead of being on a kitchen floor. Yeah, it was like his car, his Mark IV Polo with this Mark V front end. I just obsessed over that car. I remember buying Performance VW magazine. It was on the cover. I read that feature over and over and over again whenever that car was at VW shows. Yeah, honestly, I just obsessed over that car. It was absolutely awesome. 180 engine in there as well.
Nice.
Swap. Yeah. So it's really, really nice, actually, that, look, yeah, now Ash is part of the DNHC. Like, yeah, really, really cool. And an awesome throwback to the VW days for me as well, I have to say.
Yeah, I love it.
Love it. Great, great. Okay, Nick Rushton, another Works Plus driver. Lots of you love late. Based in Winchester in Hampshire, not too far from us, has an 85 930 in Prussian blue.
Lovely.
Is that, I think he...
That's actually, the one from the video.
From Phil Raby, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he saw that on the video and decided that he needed to bag it.
Nice. Yeah, because that was a not a hair-raising, certainly eyebrow-raising drive, because it had been tuned. So it's about 400 horsepower in that classic shell or classic chassis, classic car with obviously zero driver aids. The rear wheel span up a few times on our test drive. So it's great to see that, obviously, because, you know, that we were talking about it in the video. It's great to see that he's gone for it, because it's a 930 plus, I would say, that car.
Nice. He also has a 74 RS replica racer.
Love it.
Lovely. Sounds like a man for flat six show, doesn't he? Let's get those on track.
Yeah, I don't think Nick's been introduced on the WhatsApp yet. I think he might be away on holiday.
Okay.
I think it's Nick. Okay. John Murray, works driver. He was at Caffeine and Machine when there was loads of our members there and got chatting. So well done, members, on indoctrinating another member. He's based in Stratford-upon-Avon, which is obviously very close to Caffeine and Machine. He has a 2.9 Cayman, a 997 C2S, and a 944 Turbo.
Nice.
So, yeah, look forward to meeting John at some point in the future. Next up, Tony Levant, who's a works driver based in North Wales, and he has a 2013 base Boxster.
Lovely.
Which I'm sure is fantastic up on the roads around Colwyn Bay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, David Peel, rookie driver. He went to Chester to collect his 996 on Monday. So he's got a 996.2 Carrera 2 and previously had a Cayman S, but I don't know where David is. It's Owen Kelly recommended. So I think David could be another Welsh boy.
I think so. He'll be across the border, won't he?
Yeah. Grand. Good to have you aboard, and I hope the new car's going well. Okay, David Van Der De Ven, who's a rookie driver. He was recommended by Arne in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another representative in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam.
That's absolutely awesome.
He recently purchased a Porsche 991.
Excellent.
After having lots of Saabs in the past, which I think is another parallel with Arne. I think I'll bring it to a close for this week. I've got quite a few for next week, and quite a few upgraders as well. So yeah, we'll save those till next week.
That polo chat, Lee, that reminds me, it was ages ago now. I meant to say when Mandy and I went up with Winston's ashes up to Norfolk, which must have been in December. Oh. So it was ages ago. We were going up, you know, so we were in Norfolk, but we're still some way from the coast. And we come up behind this, it could have been Nardo grey. It was that kind of grey. It was Mark IV Polo.
Yeah.
You know, on the dual carriageway, super low, little wheels, loads of tyre sticking out the side. And they were going along. And when we were going over the, you know, the little rumble strips towards the roundabout on the dual carriageway, they're bouncing along. And you can see their heads bouncing. And Mandy did take a picture of it from the McCann that she forgot to send to you, which is why I forgot about it. But I thought about you and I thought, look, that bloody ridiculous, isn't it? Look at them bouncing along in that thing.
Love
just
it.
Duff. I mean, it looked really cool.
Chop springs,
yeah. Riding on the bump stops.
It was boing, so boing, funny. Boing, boing. Exactly. That is brilliant. It really made me laugh. It looked kind of cool, but kind of daft as well. It was great.
Those were the days, mate. Those were the days. Yeah. Not
take
a care
back,
in the world.
Take me back.
Yeah, brilliant.
Nice one, awesome. Gents. I think it's worth pointing out as well. So we're in the heritage chat where we were talking about what we're doing this year. And obviously there was a large proportion. I think we said 95% of the DNHC definitely taking their car on a road trip this year. I think a few people reticent to kind of say where they're going, which is absolutely fine. But I know there's a couple of people waiting for us to release some more details on our road trip. So just to kind of add to that before we wrap up is we are working hard to get established some dates. We've already said destination wise where we're going. Wales in April to confirm is completely sold out and there is a lengthy waiting list. So if you've missed out this time, I'd say hold fire for another year, or of course, feel free to arrange something yourself. Norway as well. So Wales is April, Norway is May. That is fully booked and sold out. I think there's one or two people on a wait list. We would like to go to Ireland later this year. Now, the places, we've not released any places for that, so that is completely up for grabs as we speak. I think that's going to be around June time, okay? So we're going to be touring the east coast of Ireland. And hopefully later in the year, we're going to squeeze something else in, going back into Europe. And of course, our friends in the collective who are based in Europe, you don't have to be from the UK to come on these, so you're very welcome to join us along the way. But there will be something towards the autumn as well. And again, dates TBC. So if you're thinking of joining us on a road trip this year, we'll have more dates on that real soon.
Nice. Wicked.
Amazing, gents. Amazing. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to do an apology for my overexcitement and the heritage part. I think I was on some sort of Hot Wheels drug. I just want to put that out there. Sorry about that.
There were drug references, but yeah, it's worth pointing out that we're not those kind of guys. Petrol's our drug, and
just
yeah.
Adrenaline was rushing through my veins.
High on life.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with guys. That, gents. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, lovely indeed. To catch up and see your beautiful faces. And see you next week. We've got a really cool guest next week, and we're diving into some hardcore resto modding with a difference.
Cool. See you next week.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden Collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app.